Hey guys, Jeff here. I just want to let you know the podcast you're about to listen to doesn't have the best sounding audio. When we were recording, I forgot to press the right button, and so it was recording from a different mic, which is not that good. But regardless, we thought the content will still hopefully encourage you, so we decided to not re-record it and just go with this one. Hope you can bear with us and still enjoy it nonetheless. This week we talk about courting versus dating, entering into parenthood as a young married couple, and catching up on our life. Hang out with us, subscribe on iTunes, and live tweet with us as you listen with the hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff. And welcome to Anything and Everything, an up close and personal look into the lives of two married people who talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Man, it feels like it's been like 5 million years since we've recorded this.
Well, it's been pretty long.
Yeah. First of all, let me just start off by saying a huge apology to you guys. I like being a little bit more consistent with these, either once a week or at least 3 times a month, and maybe miss out on 1 week. But it's been about 3 months since we've done that. And I try to be consistent, but there's some seasons where we just can't because of a heavy travel schedule, which this spring was like that. I was kind of all over the place, and it was just busy with home renovations and moving and settling. So thank you for the grace on that, you guys, and we'll try to be more consistent moving forward. And actually, this summer is a little bit more chill, so I think we will get back on schedule. So be looking for that. And before we dive into it, I got to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Audible. If you go to jeffbethke.com/audible, you can get a free audiobook. Mine's on there, so you can get my book for entirely free and a free month-long membership. And I know you guys have heard me talk about that before, but Audible is amazing, and so you can download it and you can get a free membership. And even if you don't like it, after the month, you can just cancel. It's really easy to cancel. They don't hide it, and it's really easy to do. But we still get supported by you doing that. So if you don't have an account, just to be transparent, we would love if you just sign up for that free membership. And it supports us and the podcast as well, even if you want to cancel later. But I love Audible, so I actually have Audible regardless myself, and it is incredible. But with that being said, I mean, do we have anything to catch them up on? We've lived, what, 3 months of life since last time we've chatted with our homies?
Well, you know, no big deal. You just traveled around the world, and we remodeled our kitchen, and we fell in love with paddleboarding, and
Kinsley's turning one next week. Yeah, you guys, Kinsley's turning one. So hit us with the hashtag Jeff and Alyssa if you were around on social or you followed us a year ago and you remember all this, because some of you guys were really fun that you were on that journey with us. But that's crazy, right? Like that, like she's turning a year. It feels like yesterday that she was born. It feels like yesterday that we found out we were pregnant. That was almost 2 years ago.
Well, actually, that feels kind of far away.
Well, fine. Debbie Downer. Okay. No, I'm just joking. But,
So she's going to be one.
I know. By the way,
so,
guys,
I would love to hear, like, fun things that you guys have done with your one-year-old.
Yeah, so I don't know how many parent followers we have out there, new parent followers, but we'd love to hear that and any fun memories about your one-year-old or kids that when they turned one. And also, by the way, guys, we need to give you a quick visual of what's going on right now. And so the funnest part about podcasts is it's audio only and you can't see us.
But just I love it.
But just to put Alyssa on blast, she, first of all, it's Hawaii and it's 90 million degrees and she's wearing a blanket. But because it's kind of hot, she just likes the feel of the coziness of the blanket but doesn't want the heat of the blanket.
Exactly.
So she's wearing it like a scarf. But it has, like, little snowball tassels, and so she kind of looks like 1950s retro Macklemore thrift shop going on there, so, yeah.
I mean, it's great. It's like getting a hug all night, just wearing a blanket around your neck.
I don't even know what to say.
Also, I was just saying,
I love podcasts
because I'm literally in my pajamas with a blanket wrapped around my neck. With a big zit on my forehead.
Whoa, we're just getting 100. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah, podcast family, you're our family.
You are not alone. People get zits even, you know, late into your 20s.
Yep. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're getting kind of old, actually. You are late into your 20s.
Yep. So anyway, just giving you a visual, just being real. Jeff still looks great and his outfit, but...
Well, I appreciate that. If anyone's wondering, I'm just wearing a tank top, so I'm going suns out, guns out, even though it's nighttime and the suns ain't out, and I got no guns, so the guns ain't out, but you know what I mean.
You got some guns.
Appreciate that, girl.
The other day, Jeff was,
What, are you going to tell him my trick?
Yeah, he gave me the trick that guys do to look buff.
Yep.
I didn't know guys had tricks. I thought that was only a girl thing.
I mean, you know, we pull them out every once in a while. We're not as intense about it, but if it's if the option provides itself, we'll take it.
So what they do is during pictures or other times when they want to be impressive.
When the biceps are showing, so like preferably shirts off or suns out, guns out with the tank.
They just keep their arm very close to the side of their body so that their guns pop.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys can probably get the visual, but the closer you bring your... Like, if your arm is a little bent in, almost like you're flexing, but you're not obviously flexing, but if your arm's up somehow, and you bring your the part from your elbow to your shoulder, if you bring that in really tight to your body, it kind of pushes your bicep up, and then you look like you got...
Where'd you learn that?
You know, just on the streets.
Is that like a locker room thing?
I don't know. It's just, you know, when you don't got guns, and you need to know how to look like you have guns... That was back when I was trying to flex for my MySpace days. You feel me?
Oh, MySpace!
That was like my MySpace default picture trick. Okay, hit us with the hashtag, Jeff and Alyssa, if you were around with MySpace. If you weren't, that'll show you that'll really show us the divide on whether or not it's like a teenager or young adult or someone.
Also,
I feel like MySpace is only people that are older.
Yeah, it'd have to be like and older.
Yeah, 25 and older, I feel like, is more MySpace people.
I'd love to know the theme song you had on your top three.
Oh, I changed all the time, but... Well, no, it was just one.
Oh, it was just one? Yeah, I remember one.
Huh?
It was one, and then you rated your friend.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what I had. I changed, but I remember Colby Calais before she was Colby Calais. I had her on there, even though that's interesting for me, but I was very eclectic with my music selection.
I had Starfield.
Oh, yep.
I don't remember anyone else, but...
That is good.
Yeah. Jeff and I kind of, sometimes when he's gone traveling and we FaceTime, we joke about doing MySpace.
Oh yeah, so one of the really funny things back in the day is people would take I feel like people really were more like about trying to look super good in the profile picture.
Yeah.
And I just remember some people, not always girls, but predominantly girls, would like hold the camera high, like almost like they're basically taking
while
a picture
like
of the top of their head.
On their bed.
Well, it's almost like they're taking a picture of the top of their head, but then at the last second they look up, but the camera's still up there, and it's just like a really weird angle. So But people
well,
always did
it's
that.
It's just funny. It's just like the MySpace
moment. Yeah, so we'll always do it on FaceTime and be like, MySpace angle.
Which, now that I think about it, MySpace is where like the first selfie happened. Because the first selfie was all about taking a picture in while you look at the mirror.
Oh, you're right. Oh, my goodness.
You know, MySpace, remember those?
That was
with the flash.
The flash. Oh, my goodness. If you don't remember that selfie, then you don't know selfie.
That's like when selfie began.
Yeah,
this is like for those that are,
probably like 18
and under.
20 and under. We're giving you just
giving
the etymology.
Evolution.
We're giving you college course. We're giving you a PhD in selfieology. You feel me?
Ooh, a snap.
Selfieology? Okay, we need to move on. We're getting crazy.
So what questions do we have?
So this is going to be a little bit of an anomaly episode, folks, because we just had so much to catch you up on, but also because... you guys sent in so many questions, probably because maybe we haven't done it in a while. And I just thought it'd be fair this time that rather than taking 10 minutes at the end like we usually do to basically devote the rest of the episode to that. So we'll try to do 20 minutes for the rest of the episode. So we usually try to do 3 or 5. I try to pick like 8 or 9. The first one is hilarious. Now, the question's not hilarious. It's a great question. But the first one is because, you know, on Twitter, you have like the handle and then you have the display name. And the handle is basically like, you know, your tag. But then and that could be weird. Sometimes people make that like a nickname or a weird thing. And then the display name is your actual name. But this particular lady chose to, her Twitter handle is like Cielo or Kielo. And the reason I say that is because there's 4 E's in there, so she really drug it out. But her display name is Eyebrows on Fleek 1. So not only is it Eyebrows on Fleek, but then she added that 1. So we just wanted to say shout out to you because that is the realest name I've ever seen out there, and you win the MVP award for realest Twitter name. And then secondly, 5 seconds ago, I had to explain to Alyssa what on Fleek was. She, first of all, thought it was F-L-I-N-K. She thought it was Flink. And then she was like,
what is it, Fleek?
Fleek, F-L-E-E-K, means like...
What does it mean?
It means just like you're looking fresh, you're looking clean, like you know, with my sun's out, guns out in this fresh tank, I'm on Fleek, you feel me? My eyebrows on Fleek, like this lady. Look at these eyebrows.
So her eyebrows are on
Fleek? Yeah, you see these eyebrows? These eyebrows are on Fleek.
Is she like an eyebrow artist?
Maybe she is. Her eyebrows are... Just, you got it.
Maybe she was just born with the most perfect eyebrows.
Yeah, so that's eyebrow... Then her username should be Eyebrows on Fleek Since Birth. 1. You feel me? So...
So, if you are 40 years old and up, there's a new word for you that you can use on your...
Yeah, parents, when your kids come downstairs after they dress for school you tomorrow, say, yo, son, the outfit on Fleek, yo. And then that's that. Maybe they'll know what you mean.
Maybe not, though.
Yeah, if they're really young, maybe they don't use that. Anyways, that word might even be phasing itself out already, but
it's but I just heard about it, like, 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, totes, but guts. But anyways, eyebrows on sleeve, tweet us, please, and we'd love to know your real name. So we'd love to know if you're like an Ashley or a Bonquiqui or, no, I'm just joking. If you've seen Bonquiqui on YouTube, it's hilarious. But yeah, so we'd love to let us know your name. Unless maybe Cielo is your name, that's kind of cool. But let us know. And then the question, or were you going to say something?
Well, it was very off topic.
What? Bring it on.
I just, y'all, I'm really craving dessert. I really want my shortbread with my vanilla ice cream and berries, but Jeff is making me wait till after we film, or else my lips would be
record.
Snapping.
It's not a video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
My lips would be snapping. So, as we are talking right now, I'm dreaming of this dessert I'm going to be inhaling.
Yeah, so just to be totally real, folks, we almost got in a little marriage argument because she was, like, really wanting to eat her vanilla ice cream, blueberries, and shortcake.
And raspberries.
And I was like, well, I really want to record this so I can edit it so that I can go to bed because we're recording it late at night after we put Kinsley on. And then also I want to have dessert with her, too, so I want to end. But I was setting up, so I want to wait till after. And she was just, she was holding strong, y'all. She was like, nah. But then I was like, yeah. And then I won. And so that was that. But, well, because I told her that, yeah, we don't want no strawberry shortcake lip smackage on the audio. Well, no, you don't need to. No. Is that what it would sound like? Is that smacking?
No. I don't know.
That doesn't sound like eating at all.
Anyway, so I have a question for the listeners out there.
Eyebrows on fleek, we will get to your question by the end of the episode. We will get to your question by the end of the month, I promise.
My question is, I'd like to know how many of you are dessert eaters after dinner. And if you are, do you like to eat?
Like, pretty rhythmically. Like, not just like you go, like
it's not like, just special events. It's most nights.
Yeah, most nights you're going to have some type of palate cleanser that involves sugar.
Which is definitely me.
Yeah.
But question, do you like to eat it
the ice machine
right after you eat dinner, or do you have to wait so many hours?
Yes. Yeah, so this is a big debate we've had recently, because her dad's like this, where, like, he has to wait 2 hours to do,
or
like, dinner and dessert.
8 o'clock.
Yeah. And so he has this big gap between dinner and dessert, but I like doing it right away.
Yeah.
And then the hard part about that is he wants us to wait.
No, he lets us eat.
No, he lets us eat, but then, like, there's nothing left usually because I eat it all, and then he gets really upset.
You have to always save him, so.
Yeah, which that's tough. But, because for me, I'm used to just a free fall with the food. Yep, free. Is that what else? Free for all. Free fall.
Free for all.
There we go. Yeah, that sentence was not on fleek.
All right.
Yeah,
so eyebrows on fleek.
Yeah, eyebrows on fleek.
Oh, what's your question?
My phone locked. So
I think it was, how do you deal with a breakup?
Yep, how do you get over a recent breakup? Now, we've actually answered this one before, but the reason I came back to it and wanted to ask it again even and just reiterate is because she wasn't the only one that asked it. For some reason, every time we ask question and answer, it's like every time someone asks this question. So just to offer another encouragement, I don't know what episode it was, but maybe go back and listen to some of the past episodes. And I know hopefully the advice probably won't be identical here, but because I don't remember exactly what I said. But I would say I'm community. I don't think any type of pain and suffering, whether that's the loss of someone in your life through a death or through that type of really intense suffering, or it's actual a relational breakup or a relational strife or a relational tension, romantically or whatever, then I would say, oh, sorry, we just lost the audio right there, so I just brought it back and edited it back in. How do you get over the recent breakup? So what I would say to that is community, like I was saying, community. It really comes down to any type of tough thing that hits us, our temptation is to isolate ourselves and live alone. And that's exactly, I think, what the power of darkness wants, because any type of hard issue thrives in darkness. And darkness doesn't just mean evil. It just means isolation sometimes, too. So I think relationally, coming into the light, being vulnerable with other people is a huge thing with your church community, with your parents, if you have a good relationship with them, because then they can really walk with you through that. They can pray through you. They can pray for you. They can encourage you. And breakups are, I know multiple people, myself included, maybe even Alyssa a little bit, whatever. I know a lot of people, almost actually everyone I know who loves Jesus and who's gone through a breakup, they would most likely point to the fact that that was one of the hardest times of their life, but also one of the sweetest in the sense of what they learned in Scripture, what they learned from Jesus, and the comfort they found in Jesus. So there's this real double-edged sword where it's like, it's really hard, but he really meets you there. And if you really commit to being in Scripture, being in kind of giving that space, then I think he really shows up in a big way. What would you say to eyebrows on fleek? I'm sorry, I can't say that without laughing. I can't wait until she tweets us and we hear her real name. But yeah.
No, I totally agree with that. And I think, as Jeff said, you know, you've lost a really good friend, to say the least. And so it's definitely like a time of grieving, and it's okay to grieve, regardless if you were the breakup or the breakup-y, to grieve and to really take that to the Lord and spend a lot of... This is like a season where you need to be... maybe have more time, solitude time, and have more time just being with Jesus and being in His Word and praying and journaling. I think it can be really detrimental to just immediately after the breakup just make yourself super busy so you're distracted by everything. And I think there comes a time within the grieving process where it is good to be distracted or busy to kind of start moving on. But I think initially it's really good to just have that solitude time to be with the Lord and, to really journal and let... Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that would be on top of everything you said. I would just add that.
Mm-hmm. No, I really like that. So, and let us know if that helped answer, and to all the people who asked that question, not just eyebrows on fleek, because that was a lot of people asked that question. Let us know if that was helpful, hopefully. The next question is from Hannah Mendenhall. Oh, what up, Hannah? I remember when we watched Beautiful Mind with her at our house. Do you remember that?
Oh, Hannah!
Yeah, yeah. She asked... Oh, yeah, I even responded to her and told her this is a great question, but I think you can answer it better than I can. She said... she didn't say exactly like this, but she said, how do you do disciple-making for introverts? Or how do you make disciples as an introvert? I'm guessing is kind of the question. And that's a tough question. I'm not totally an introvert. So, first of all, let's define those terms. I think...
different levels also. Yeah.
Well, people really... I think people just think of someone's like animated or outgoing. Outgoing is not the same as extrovert. I think it really comes down to where do you get your energy, where do you get filled up, and then what drains you. So for me, so an introvert is you get your energy by solitude and peace and quiet and stuff like that. Extrovert, you get your energy by crowds and parties and being around people. I would consider myself an introvert technically because I am completely drained in crowds. I love it. Like, it's so life-giving, but it, like, takes my meter down, and then I have to retreat to get filled back up to go back out, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, but there's also different levels and different types. I would say, but with that being said, I guess I'll let you take that one first, because I think you probably are a little bit more introverted in that sense of the question than I am.
Yeah. So, wait, what's the question? How do you make disciples as an introvert?
Yeah, and I think it's actually a really good question, because I think, and I don't know exactly how Hannah is asking this, but I know in the church we elevate very much the stage gifts, the extroverted gifts, the loud gifts, the speaking gifts, and that can sometimes be a burden on people who aren't that bent, and even though it's really just a personality trait difference, and so I think it kind of... does that make sense? Like, we create this because the people on the stage are usually extroverts, and those are also the people usually driving the church culture. Then we usually subtly can be saying, this is how you make disciples. And when you look at the formula, it's usually like very much just extroverted ways of making disciples.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, as a more introverted person, I definitely get filled up with one-on-one time. So, like, I personally love... Well, I love small groups, and I also just really love one-on-one. So, like, meeting with a girl...
Because you feel sometimes a little overwhelmed in groups.
Totally.
And one-on-one, you feel like that's more when you can be honest and vulnerable, ask them
like
questions.
My favorite. Yeah. Just that heart-to-heart. And so, I think it works out great. And to just have that time where you get together however often, and just are really vulnerable and honest with each other, and... ask the hard questions and keep them accountable, or and so I think it's maybe before you meet with them. I hope I'm answering this right. Before you meet with them, like coming up with a plan, like journaling or whatever, like questions you're going to ask them, or just really praying and being open to what the Spirit's going to do and asking the Spirit to lead you and to give you courage to ask the questions. Or if you're being discipled yourself, having courage to be vulnerable and to share what's going on in your life. And, I would recommend one-on-one. And I think that's almost ideal for disciple making because it's just really... You know, you can be super vulnerable with just a one-on-one person rather than a huge group. I don't know. Does that?
No, that's really good. Yeah, hopefully that's helpful in that regard. And the only thing I would add too is don't underestimate the power that disciple making can have, or the power of disciple making by example. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we make it very formal, like let's meet at Starbucks,
let's do
you know, give me the information, I'll get in on the disciple me by giving me facts of Christianity, which we, you know, theology is a beautiful thing and we love that, but I think theology is primarily impacts people's lives or is spread into someone's life by example, and more the really relational
just doing
rhythms.
Life with them.
Yeah, having like the biggest thing about that is having meals. Like having meals with people is a huge disciple making tool, I think. Because then that's just, it's natural, it's really, we all have to eat, so it's a natural provision, and you can invite other people into that, like more people, you can invite non-Christians to that, because it's just such a natural human thing.
Yeah.
So I would say meals is a huge thing, working out, whatever your daily rhythms are.
Yeah,
I think,
if you go for a walk.
Yeah. And
if you love to take photos, like just
exactly.
Go
and then
take
how you
together.
Love Jesus in those rhythms, mm-hmm. I think is really a huge part of disciple making.
Yeah.
You know, I think that you, because what you're doing, that's what disciple making is you're showing someone how to be a Jesus follower in your normal life rhythms. And that's basically
mm-hmm.
the definition.
Just inviting
to me.
Them into
yeah,
your life.
So you're trying to say, hey, this is what it looks like. Yeah. And then two, don't forsake, one thing I have to remember too is don't forsake the craft. Whatever craft God's given you, like I think that disciple making primarily can happen through the craft He's given you. So whether I know for you particularly it's design, or me YouTube, or Alyssa you writing, whatever it is, I think sometimes we all go to the same conventional way of disciple making. Like I said, let's meet in a store,
right,
let's do this.
Right.
When I think use your craft for disciple making,
mm-hmm.
And I just think again it's that natural rhythm thing. Like that's really if you're in that craft, then you know the language, you know how it works, you're very comfortable in that setting. And so then the hard question, it is a hard question, is how do I follow Jesus in my craft, in my domain? And then how do I do it so well, hopefully, that I can kind of turn around and show the intentionality of it
mm-hmm.
to another person?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was helpful at all, but Hannah, you the homie, I think you're working at Nike now. Hope that goes well.
And
hope
I
that's
think
dominating.
It looks,
Nike's greater than Adidas. Oh, okay.
I think discipleship looks different with different people and in different seasons, too.
So that's a good question, too. Yeah, I think sometimes we cookie cutter stamp it, and that's where I think
yeah,
a lot of
like
pressure
gets
put on me.
It's not like you're going to meet with somebody at Starbucks for the rest of your life. It's,
you
know, maybe there'll be a season where you...
Where you do do that, and you don't.
Yeah, you invite someone to live in your house for a month, or you have a Bible study because you want to go through a book, or you, you know, need a walking partner twice a week while you walk, or whatever. Just inviting them into your life.
That's really good. The next question is from Taylor Friesen. You've tweeted us a few times, and so thank you for that. We really appreciate the support, but I don't know if I said your last name right, so let me know. Friesen. You asked, advice for keeping your marriage solid upon entering parenthood. Parentheses, I'm due Friday, y'all.
Whoa!
She didn't say y'all, and she didn't say it like that.
Does she already have the baby?
No, she's due Saturday. Or Friday.
Oh, I didn't know if this was an old tweet.
Oh, no, this is from today. And I said Friday, but she meant Saturday. I just got all swaggy with my attitude on it, so I said it wrong. But anyways,
well,
first of all, congrats. We were 2 weeks late, so you might have the baby 3 weeks from now, or you'll have the baby on Saturday.
Oh, don't tell a mom that.
Yeah.
That's
but
like the most
you're almost there.
Saddest thing you
you're
can
almost
hear.
There, and that is amazing. Congrats. Advice for keeping your marriage solid upon entering parenthood. Yeah, I don't know. I think for us, it was hard, because to some degree, here's the best way to put it. I thought, and this is really just a definition of terms, but I thought a baby was just like adding on to our foundation of marriage, which it is. But to some degree, it's almost like starting back at zero and rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we had to, and for me, that was a lot more work and a lot more learning new rhythms and learning new life. And that's the biggest reason why I say that, is because you're basically learning a whole new way to do life. So for me, I would say something that we try to do now a little bit more, but was hard in the beginning, is just really making a priority to put, even if it's, I feel like I've been filled up with like 4 to 5 minute conversations with you, as long, because if it feels really real, really everything's pausing, we're checking in, or we're just pausing, those feel really life-giving, even though it's 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, how are you doing? How are you really doing? You know? So I would just say, really put aside, even if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, to really check in with each other, to really get to the heart quickly.
Connect.
And we've kind of learned a rhythm where it's like, yeah, when Kinsley goes down, then we have like our couple hours, when before it was more like right around dinner was our couple hours. I don't know. Yeah, what would you say?
Pray a lot. I think when you have a baby, at least for us, it was pretty rocky for a little bit. I think because I you know, your whole life just changed. And
then you're like...
You're sleep deprived.
Yeah, so then the whole rest of the day you're 50% hormonal. Instead of 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, and just learning, like, different roles and expectations. And so I think give a lot of grace to each other, have a lot of conversations, and pray a lot. I know, and just maybe anticipate some bumps along the road, but know that it gets really sweet quickly. Does that...
No, that's really good.
I want it to be hope-filled.
Oh, that's absolutely terrible. Just hold on.
It's not terrible at all. I think no, I had a hard time adjusting. I had a hard time first healing kid. It's just such and all a, that. Whoa.
Yeah. No, I'm saying like any first kid is like, whoa. That's what I said.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just like it totally kind of shocks you. So.
But
yeah.
It always, I think the sweet thing is even though it's bumpy, at first it might be bumpy, it just strengthens your marriage all the more.
Yeah, don't forsake the hard parts as an opportunity to push in to each other, yeah. To prayer, to rest, to stuff like that. In.
And maybe, scripture. Like, hopefully you have mentors in your life that you can...
Yeah, they helped us, yeah.
Yeah, ask for wisdom and advice and go to.
That's really good. So I was going to say we're going to answer 8 or 9, but I think we only got through 3 just because we're so long-winded. And so this we're going to do one more, I think, in our time limit. This one is from Bailey. She said, my roommates and I are having a discussion. What do you think about the courtship culture within church communities? And then she did a little teardrop emoji after that. So I would say, for me, I don't get caught up on terms, whether you call it courtship, whether you call it dating. Personally, I don't care, as long as it's a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, I do think there's pros and cons to both of the cultures. Like hookup culture can sometimes be the bad spectrum of dating, meaning like that's where sometimes people interpret that. And then courtship culture, sometimes people interpret when they hear that, that means like, you know, we don't hold hands, we don't talk, we don't, you know, do you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to say like the spectrums people think when they hear those words. But I think it's basically just a relationship regardless. And as long as it's healthy with a focus towards marriage, towards each other, towards honoring, towards respecting each other's bodies, hearts, minds, and all that stuff, I think it's amazing. One thing I will say, though, is I do think there is a few things that are sometimes hard on the courtship culture. I think one is that sometimes I think idolizes marriage. I think sometimes, especially in Christian colleges and stuff like that, it can really be like, you know, if someone, I think I've said this in a previous episode, but it's like, you know, if a girl even goes to coffee with a guy, then the whole campus thinks they're getting married. And that's just like way too much pressure on the girl.
The guy.
Well, it's too much pressure on both, but I think the guy sometimes doesn't mind it because he's the guy that, you know, asks her, I asked her on a date with
But that's problematic because then a lot of guys just don't even ask.
That's a good point. Right. So it is problematic both ways, but I've seen it be really problematic on the girls because they won't say yes. It's like, are we just literally just chilling, getting the flat white at Starbucks, talking about life? Or is this literally like my like marriage interview? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I think that's the problem with it. It sometimes can idolize marriage to the point of where it actually like...
Just sometimes can put too much pressure.
Too much pressure, yeah. Too much pressure. So I would say, you know, there's a healthy way to just totally ask a girl on a date to get to know her.
Guys, just please ask the girl on a date.
Yeah, first of all, yeah, be bold. Be bold. And that is something I do like about the courtship culture is I do feel like the guys will take the reins.
See, I feel like it makes them not.
Yeah, you're kind of right.
Because there's too much pressure.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and I don't not
like
all the
that.
Time, but.
I don't like that phrase, taking the reins. But you're right. Put too much pressure on both. When feel free to ask. You might get rejected. That's part of it.
Like, it's okay just to go to coffee or go grab dinner or go do something with somebody else and.
Yeah, and talk about life and hopes and visions
and
futures.
Without thinking it's a marriage proposal.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's one problem I see in the courtship culture. That's a little bit of a generalization, but on the most part, that's what I see. And having gone to a Christian school for 1 year and then you having gone to a Christian school for your college, I think, we both would agree on that. I don't know, would you add anything to that or just what you think about it or any other problems that it provides?
Well, the thing I do like about it, which maybe you already said, was that it is intentional, which I think dating means to
That's usually what it means, yeah. It usually means like I'm trying to fight against the, we're just dating because I just like you and I have no other reason why.
Right. Yeah. I think you do need to be intentional and I do want men to lead and, you know, have a vision and, you know, not just, you know.
Mm-hmm. But I've seen plenty of people that do that, that call it dating. So
right.
It is just
but
such
it
a
could be
thing.
Just dating, too. But I was just saying the good things about courtship is that.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's what it's usually fighting for. When they call it that, that's usually what they're fighting for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But dating's great, too. It's,
What were you going to say?
I don't have much.
Well, yeah, I think it's just I really think it's just like a bickering over terms that I've seen some people have, and it's like, for Pete's sake, like, you know, if you want to get married, then just there's healthy ways to do that. You know, there's healthy ways to meet people, mm-hmm. to ask them questions, to realize when to break it off, to pursue someone else, to take a rest single, and to search scripture, to grow in the Lord. There's just, there's proper ways to do it. Call it what you want, but...
But I think it's very healthy to ask a girl on a date and to go and talk and learn about other people. And,
totally.
You know.
Yeah. If it's a coffee date, should the guy pay?
Yes, definitely. If the guy asks, he should pay.
Even if it's like a coffee date, I feel like that's pretty non, like kind of...
Always. Girls, who's with me? Hashtag Jeff and Alyssa.
I certainly fall on the side of guy should pay to like show that, especially if he asks.
Yeah.
But for some reason, like coffee, it doesn't like I that would for me of like oh the I don't seem so small that like is it like
the guy should always pay.
Okay, for sure. Mm-hmm. But if that girl gets soy, I ain't paying plus 60 cents.
I get soy.
It's a joke, but it's 60 more cents at Starbucks. No.
Whatever. Oh. Don't worry, girls. Jeff pays for me now.
Yep. Except for the 60 cents. No, I'm just joking.
So there's this one story.
Oh, so funny.
We were newly married, like the first month of being married, and we were in Minnesota.
Was that where it was?
Yeah, we were in Minnesota. Huh. We were going through Caribou Coffee. Now, let me just preface this with, so we got married in October, and I ended my job... the end of June.
Yeah, I think you had like $9 in your bank
so
account.
So I'd like, and I'd work some like off, you know, like little jobs here and there for the summer. But for the majority, I spent most of the money through the wedding. So I literally probably had $300 to my name when we got married. And so we, month later, we're going through the drive-thru of Caribou Coffee. And we like pull up and I pat Jeff on the arm and go, don't worry, babe, Mama's got this.
And I almost fainted because it was just the funniest line that's ever come out of Alyssa's mouth. And then, so then it was amazing and she paid and I was like, well, I mean, we were married, right?
But was, I did pay. It was just a funny...
It was funny because we were still kind of merging our bank accounts and all that stuff. Yeah. So it was really funny. But then the best part is I think it was the next day we either went to go get coffee again or just a bite to eat before the church. And then so I looked at her and I was like, does Mama got this? And she was like, no, Mama doesn't have this. Mama can't get it anymore.
I literally didn't know how much it was in my account. I didn't want to overdraft.
Well, so that actually is a story that we absolutely love. So, hey guys, we hope you really enjoyed this episode. Let us know on the hashtag Jeff and Alyssa any topics or anything that resonated or anything you want to ask for future episodes. We will mark them. And lastly, we would love if you support jeffbethke.com/Audible. You get a free book, free month membership, and even if you sign up for the free membership and cancel after a month, it supports us big time, so we would love that if you don't have an Audible account. That's all we got. You got any closing thoughts?
No.
Alrighty. Hey, we're going to go eat some strawberry shortcake. Talk to you guys later.